fucking mark!
I'm freshly squeezed Orange Cassidy, and I do not have a catchphrase.
Oh, what have we here?
Go fuck yourself.
Damn!
And I am a sports entertainer!
Ladies, gentlemen, NBs, this is the ESE podcast. This is Eat Sleep Elite. I am one half of your hosting duo. I'm the Digital Duke, also known as the Digital Phantom, also known as the Mistborn, the Hero of Ages. I am here to become the Lord Ruler of all the lands of the Final Empire. And with me today is my squire, young Charles I, the first
your
of his name.
Your squire?
Indeed.
I'm the punishment of God, meant to lay victim to all of my demise.
I am the God you'll pray to.
Yeah, that's the energy today, boys. We're fucking in.
I'm not sure this is going to be like the same as the other truncated show. It is going to go a little bit faster because I'm kind of like scheduling got a little bit fucked in the butt today, but it is what it is, you know? Sometimes it happens. But sometimes
you get to beef up your chief and you never know what's
exactly,
going on.
Exactly. 100%. So, but something I wanted to talk about at the top of the show, and I'm sure you're not remotely surprised that I'm bringing this up, is something I actually got into in the last like week or two since we did the podcast. I bought some AEW Allure blaster boxes and got some AEW cards. And I got some pretty good stuff in there. Definitely the best card I got was the Will Ospreay Orange Slice. Like, fucking huge W there, you know? Like,
Will Ospreay.
And people on this podcast will know I'm a big Will Ospreay fan. I'll keep people updated as I get anything crazy. Like if I pull an auto or I pull, you know, anything really cool. I pulled a couple Pulsars, one of Deonna Purrazzo, one of, what was the other one of? It was somebody else.
It was Taya Valkyrie.
It was Taya Valkyrie, you're right. And actually, both of those cards look really nice. The Deonna Purrazzo is actually also an in-action sort of horizontal card, so that was pretty cool. What else did I get in there that was really good? Three AEW champs cards AEW straps cards in the same box, which was insane. That was a good box. Got a Roderick Strong straps card, which is pretty
Roddy,
nice.
Roddy, Roddy,
Roddy. A little bit of Roddy. You know, we love some Roddy on this pod, you know? This is a Roddy Stan podcast, you know? Just some great stuff there. I've been getting into card collecting recently. You know, if it's a segment that you want us to bring up on the show, whenever I do more shit with my cards or if Charlie gets any, or I also picked up some, I know this is an AEW show. I got some Shinsuke Nakamura. I got a Sapphire base card to him. And I think it's just a silver base card in the other pack. Right. But they're both nice little base cards and I got some Shinsuke now. So that's pretty nice. Also went down to the card shop. That's where I got the other two blasters because I got the first one online. So now I'm addicted, y'all. Now I'm ripping packs and we're having a great time. And maybe, Charlie, I save one pack or something like that and do a live pack opening on the show at some point.
Oh, that'd be fucking lit. Ripping packs and smoking stacks there, buddy.
Exactly. Ripping packs with smoking stack, indeed.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess let's actually get into the show, Charlie. I'll toss it to you. We're going to get into our favorites this week. You'll be taking us away because it's your week there, fella Fartsmella.
Another incredible week of wrestling in AEW. On Dynamite, like, there were three matches that were really high rated and another one that was pretty good, pretty well rated. So, yeah, Dynamite kicked ass. But I thought Collision brought some great stuff as well. So we're going to jump over to Collision for my favorite this week. Everyone's might be wondering, what's this son of a bitch picking? We're going with Crew versus Top Flight. That's Action Andretti and Leo Rush
Lashley
versus Darius and Dante Martin, and Layla Gray was out there. So this was a tornado tag match. You know, we've been kind of waiting for these guys to really kick this feud in the ring. You know, it's been going on for a while now with some extracurriculars, you know, beating the shit out of each other in parking lots, stuff like that.
The crazy jackets.
The crazy jackets. I would wear one of those.
Why doesn't Andretti's have sleeves, man? What the hell?
Look, sometimes you got to show off the biceps, and that's what Andretti's all about. So let's get into the actual in-ring match of this. And yeah, they had some fun with it. You know, we got the garbage cans out early. We got kind of everyone just really, you could feel the hatred. There was no time wasted, which I always like. You know, if we've built up to something for this long for them to finally get in the ring, I don't need a 7-minute standoff before we, you know, we touch tips. You know, let's just get right into it. And yeah, kendo sticks were used. A lot of shit was brought afoot. There was they took advantage of the town they were in. There were some like suplexes and shit happening on beads. Darius Martin took the brunt of the attack.
That didn't land quite, I don't think, for the crowd or for us, the Mardi Gras beads. AEW loves to do this gimmick where they do different things inside the bag of death. So it's, you know, but like, sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. Legos is still the best swerve spot of that of all time. So, yes. You know, like, but this one for me, I mean, it would hurt. I'm not going to say like it wouldn't, especially that one that was like, why'd they throw the one with the goddamn glowing thing in there? That just seems unnecessary, you know, like,
taking advantage of the town you're in, you know, that's what it's all about, having some fun with
things. I mean, what if you get electrocuted or something?
Yep. Darius accidentally hit some 15% on Layla Gray, so she got KO'd for a bit there. This was just a good time. I thought they brought a lot of fun energy, and I gotta tell you, Crew, they look really, really, really good as a team. If this is one of the teams that we're going to pump up and maybe put the tag titles on, this is a great way to start it because their chemistry together really clicked here. And
I literally asked you that last night after we got done watching this show. I was like, is Crew a team that can win the tag team titles off?
I think so. It's just going to take some time. It's going to take, you know, some time and some good booking here.
You got to get there, but as
I think this one's
going
to continue for a little bit. And, you know, I think the next match, it might even be better. So, yeah,
I'd be sick.
I really like this. I like all four guys involved. I like Layla Gray. She's doing her thing on Ring of Honor, too. So, yeah, this was something that was set up for a while, and it ultimately delivered for me. So, yeah, any other thoughts you had on this match? And then what was your favorite this week?
No surprise that Leo Rush is going to sneak his way to our favorites a bunch this year. He's very good and very talented, and we've been on him ever since that run in the Super Juniors couple years ago, where he tore the fucking house down every match, pretty much.
He was making Darius look like $1 million many times.
Yeah, 100%. And so, I think
what he does.
Oh, yeah, 100%. And I still don't know what Top Flight does out of this, you know? I don't know that. Yeah, I don't know. I'm not sure. I still don't see the end game if this feud isn't like over, you know, like I don't know what their gain out of this is, but other than just being on TV, I guess.
Yeah, I was going to say it's really just TV time. Right, trying to get over a little bit by little. You never know.
And that's how Dante got over the first time, you know, like that's how he got himself.
All it took
over.
Was Private Party randomly getting a couple of those TV matches. And the next thing you know, a month later, they're champions. So make it happen.
Did I write anything in my notes that I want to bring up here? Yeah, I mean, I just like, you know, I like that they're, you know, this was a team that was a group of like five people. But like now, as soon as they're on their own, like it shows the true colors of Andretti because he's willing to like just threaten Layla Gray to get what he wants. You know what I mean? So like, you know, this that's development of character. It changes the perspective of that maybe the whole time when they were in the group. Maybe that was how he felt the whole time. You know, who knows? But yeah, no, not much more to add to that than that. I did enjoy the match. I didn't even know we had a street fight type match scheduled for Collision this week. So when I found out we got some Plunder getting on, I was like, hey, it's going to be cool, you know?
Hell yeah.
Yeah, you always got to love the Plunder. I think my favorite spot in the match was just, I don't know why I love this spot, but when it's a tag team match and somebody gets put in the trash can and they just start wailing on it with the kendo sticks, it just fucking pops me every time. I don't know why, but it's a great spot.
This was significantly better than the Collision match they had 3 weeks ago.
That's fair.
It felt more elevated.
But yeah, beyond that, that's not much more that I have to add to that. It was a good match. I don't know if I would have picked it for my favorite. I don't ever say that whenever I wouldn't, but I thought it'd be interesting to note that here. It's not what I would have picked, but I understand why you did. But yeah, anything else you wanted to add about it?
No. I think there's been a lot of confusion online of people asking, you know, what is the purpose of this feud? And it just, it came from Andretti taking L's.
I think
and
it's my question.
Leo had
like,
his back when the other two didn't. That was the precipice of it.
Yeah.
And it's an internal group feud. So it just formed into something else. Ashton ended up having someone that had his back that he didn't expect. You know, he thought he was a third of Top Flight, but ended up not being the case. It's a much more intimate feud than we're used to having in wrestling. So I don't know. I dig it.
Yeah, 100%.
It's neat. It's different.
Yeah. It sucks that it doesn't get more time than it does, because then it probably could actually be something, but it's just, it's a secondary.
Their first match was in December. I mean, we're going on 5 months.
Yeah, and they haven't done as much of it as they probably should have.
It feels like it hasn't hit that next level, but maybe it either ends here or hits another level.
It could be wrapping up, which is insane, you know, to say that still. Mm-hmm. But it, you're right. It hasn't really hit that level because they never let it. So it's kind of the same problem that Leo had before where they'll let him do stuff, but they won't let him do it like in front of a lot of people at a regular amount of times. You know, like, I don't know. But maybe we'll get around to that eventually. Some injuries will happen or something. I'm not wishing anyone to be injured, but it does happen in the course of wrestling. So bound to happen eventually. And so there'll be opportunities for people to step up. Maybe Leo can be one of those people. But yeah, I guess since we got through that, I'll bring up my favorite from this week. And we're going to be doing a little rewind back to Dynamite this week. And we're going to the Young Bucks, the Young Bucks versus Speedball, Mike Bailey, and the Jet, Kevin Knight. I mean, it's exactly what you'd expect from these two teams. Basically, you know, you have these two that are being put together in Kevin Knight and Speedball, who are on both on tidal waves of momentum right now, coming out of the tournament and stuff. So I think that one of the few things that you should do in wrestling sometimes whenever you have two guys that pop at the same time, like Kevin Knight and Speedball did, you should absolutely like capitalize on that. It doesn't necessarily mean they have to be a tag team, but that should be a duo that for at least for a while, until one of them needs to do something to, you know, spice things up, should definitely stick together because they just stylistically match up really well. You could put them against teams like Aussie Open or maybe him and Konosuke in that case, if it's not still that team yet, you know what I mean? Or you could put them against teams like the Young Bucks, and they could put on like they did here, just really clinical, really high level athletic and high-flying kind of sort of action, you know? Because that's my favorite thing about the Young Bucks is heels. It's not like they changed up how they wrestle. You know what I mean? Like, that's not what the Young Bucks do. That's not what they get paid to do. They get paid to be, like, Kenny Omega at 2 and 3, essentially. You know what I mean? Like, and I'm not even kidding. You know, like, that's kind of the best way you can describe it. They're paid to be the second and third best wrestlers in, like, a trios match, basically, if Kerry Moore with Kenny. Because they're not going to be better than Kenny, right? But they're going to be... it could be as good or almost as good, you know, like, so it's kind of insane when you think about it like that, because that means in most other matches they're in, Charlie, they're the two best wrestlers in that match almost all the time. So it almost kind of wonders sometimes if they actually have to hold back so they don't look too good because of how talented they are. Does that make sense? Like, they're never not going to their full that they would go, but I almost feel like if they did what they could do every match all the time, it would make everybody else look like complete shit, you know, like, I don't know. Maybe that would
be nuts,
you know? So, and by the way, none of this is going to apply to what I'm talking about with this match, but I think it's actually something that's really interesting. Cause I don't think Speedball or Kevin here, they looked like they were out of place. Like, I feel like I'm surprised by that. Obviously these guys know who these two are, but like, it's the respect that they're given instantly. It's something that I don't know that you would have if these two guys went over to like WWE and then started up. Like, obviously they'd be in NXT. I don't even know if they'd get a match with, like, the, you know, former tag champions in NXT, right? You know, immediately off the rip without knowing for sure what they're able to do, right? It's always so weird with how you decide this kind of stuff. My question is this, though, I guess, because it was a really good match, obviously. Let me talk about what some stuff actually happened. Sorry, I wrote something in my notes that I cannot remember what it was now. But, you know, hey, that's why, you know. Oh, I think my favorite spot in this match was, I called it the Rock'em Sock'em Robot spot, where both guys got up on the shoulders of the other guy and they started fighting. That was pretty funny.
Oh, yeah.
And I called it the Kicks of Super Doom. I'm not sure what happened there, but I'm sure someone got kicked in a way that was fucked, you know? Oh, you know what it probably was? I think there was a spot where Kevin Knight and Speedball were both doing some kicks, probably at the same time. Because Kevin Knight is a fucking animal and can do everything. Yeah, so, oh, dude, one of my favorite fucking, okay, who was it? Is it, Rick Abadi? Was he on commentary maybe? And he fucking, when they hit the Meltzer driver, said, dialed up Uncle Dave on that one. And I was like, all right, that was pretty good. it was off the, like the apron or whatever. That was pretty funny. There was this pretty crazy double DDT spot that, Kevin Knight hit. That was pretty nuts. Ultimately, Ricochet ended up getting involved in the match. And so, you know, we have a lot of stuff going on here. We have the Young Bucks, obviously. We have Mike Bailey doing stuff. We have Ricochet. We got I mean, like, Ricochet's kind of doing a little bit of wheel spinning right now. He's not really feuding with anyone currently. I think he's going to be soon, but I think it's just like right now he's just kind of, you know, chilling, having matches, which is good. Obviously keep him involved in stuff. I really hate the shit that I see people say online about
staying,
him.
Staying relevant is, it's always good if you have plans for someone to stay relevant.
Yeah, I just hate when because it feels like it fuels the fire, the people that call him like a laughing stock and stuff like that. You know what I mean? Like, and I'm like, I hate that because they're not every second of every television show can be dedicated to Ricochet being a really over the top dramatic character. You know what I mean? Like, he sometimes has to just be used for what you use a wrestler for, which is to just have really good matches or be involved and break up a win for somebody or something like that. You know what I mean? Like, something like, it's not always, I don't know, whatever. So what did you have? I mean, do you have any thoughts on this, Charlie? There's obviously a lot going on here, but it was a really good match. And, interesting that we both picked matches that probably wouldn't have been the matches. I think that either any of the people that if they did the show with us, like if we had another person here, they probably would have picked like a more exciting match necessarily. But I mean, obviously Young Bucks versus.
Well, I think it just, it harkens back to the tag team wrestling is getting focus again, and look at it, it's benefiting. These are four, you know, I don't know if Kevin Knight and Mike Bailey are going to be a team going forward, but if they are, they clearly got some fun chemistry together. So, you know, these are four fun tag teams.
That's why I said maybe don't make them a tag team. You could, but like maybe don't you put them in the tag division, but you put them together as a tag duo whenever they need to wrestle a tag match because of a feud or something, right? Like, so.
Yeah. No, and it worked. This was a good time. And yeah, I mean, look, the Young Bucks, welcome back, you know? Welcome fucking back. They never miss a step. I mean, they've wrestled in Japan since October. That's it. They've wrestled the two matches in Japan that were both good.
Yeah, but are they 2-0 in Tokyo, Charlie?
Almost. Almost. Yeah, I think they lost in Osaka, right? So technically didn't lose in Tokyo. But I mean, look, it's, they're probably in the last contract of their careers too. So I'll never, this is the return match and I can't wait to see what they do next. It's going to be a great summer of Young Bucks being back. And as always, they're going to put on great matches because everyone cares about the Young Bucks. That is our EVPs right there. Not to go full in fucking character. But EVP, yeah, that was it for this week. I love that we both picked tag teams. That was cool.
Yeah, I noticed that too. I was like, huh, interesting. But you know what? Tag team wrestling has been getting a renaissance in AEW again. So, you know.
I love it. I absolutely love it. Not too much news this week. Buddy Matthews. So he's been out for injury for a while, since February 15th. It's his ankle. And he was telling Chris Van Vliet, he said, it's okay. I rolled it up pretty bad. Had an x-ray, MRI. There was no break. But there was, you know, partial ligament tear and cartilage damage. I'm walking. Yep. I haven't ran. I haven't jumped. I haven't started implementing cardio, but then it kind of stiffens up and, you know, we're working through it. The docs were telling me I've never seen an ankle roll that much under someone without completely destroying.
Samson thought it was going to fall off. Like, it was nuts.
Yeah. Disintegrating the bones, essentially. I didn't break a bone, but then I had to wrestle 15 minutes after it. So, yeah, he's hoping it, he's glad it wasn't bad. He's hoping he can come back sooner than later, you know.
I also listened to other parts of the interview. So earlier in the interview, he talked about how he was the reason he still goes to the gym right now, even though obviously he's not really able to do anything, is because if he doesn't go, then Rhea Ripley doesn't go to the gym. It's not that fucking metal, you know what I mean? And you look at Rhea Ripley and you're like, there's no way she misses days. So obviously she has to if that's the way it is. There's probably some days he doesn't want to go do. He's like, fuck this, I don't want to go work out.
Yeah, and I hope. You know, this is a
hope to see him back soon. I feel like, I know they said no leaders. I feel like he was very much being positioned as the new leader of the House of Black / the Hellhounds, you know?
See, I feel like it was Brody.
Yeah, but I feel like he is so much more like experienced and known.
I feel
like
people would embrace Buddy more personally, but I think the company just, I don't know. Maybe
Brody definitely represents more AEW style for sure. 100%. But not that Buddy doesn't, but like, Buddy's obviously, I hate to say this, Buddy will always forever be known as a WWE guy. It's just, I don't make the rules. That is just how it works. You know, like,
I think he's shifting first. That. I think there's
if he's there
the
for
new
four
era.
Years, then that goes away. I think if especially
yeah,
if he never
I think
goes
the new
back,
era fan know. Kind of forgets he was there.
He was in a big
there
main
are
event.
So many
he was
new
in a world
fans.
Championship angle. You don't forget that. You know what I mean? Like
he was just a side guy during the COVID era, though. So I just don't know. There's a lot of new fans since COVID. A lot of new wrestling fans.
I'm not saying that you're not wrong. I'm
there's
WWE
been
fans
an unbelievable amount of turnover,
him, but I bet AEW fans still remember that he was there because we wanted him in the first place, right? So you know why would we want him if we didn't know who he was, right?
Paul
so.
Heyman's guy.
Hey, here we
you
go.
Give him 30-minute matches with Apollo Crews on Raw that Paul Heyman was booking for 3 weeks. But yeah, that's it. And then Ashu wrote us on Blue Sky talking about the Maple Leaf Pro Wrestling event coming up May 10th, and we're taking a scan at the card here. A couple matches really stick out, Duke. Serena Deeb versus Miyu Yamashita. Hey, yo. That is going to be a fucking banger. I haven't seen Yamashita in AEW in a while. But
honestly,
she's still doing her thing in Tokyo.
A lot of the women like that used to show up from Japan in a long time in AEW, it feels like.
Yeah, she's doing her own thing. She's in TJPW. She was at Bloodsport where she wrestled Natalia, actually. Mm-hmm. Really cool for her.
And to be clear, I'm not talking about like Shida and the actual sign, like Mina Shikara. I'm not talking about signed talent, right? I'm talking about the people that are actually, you know,
in 2023 and 2022 were popping in every other month,
yes.
Felt like.
And they were just like not signed any contracts or anything. They were just having matches with people that were in AEW. And I missed that because it felt like that was one of those things that made AEW feel really connected to the Japanese, you know, Joshi women's scene. Maybe the relationship has soured in the last few years. I don't know, but
They've had to lock back in with that Marigold promotion lock starting up and 100%. Everyone leaving Stardom and shit's getting wicked over there right now. It's going to be a crazy summer for talent acquisition over there, to say the least. The MLP Women's Canadian title has their tournament final match where Giselle Shaw is wrestling Kylie Rae. So Giselle Shaw, she was just recently released she left TNA. So for her for kind of making her own ground and doing her own thing. She's awesome. And then Stu Grayson is wrestling Tom Lattimore for the NWA World Heavyweight Championship. So good for Stu. Nice to see Stu getting in there. And there's a battle royale that's a 20-man battle royale that's got a lot of guys we really like in here. Mike Bailey's in here. Josh Alexander's in here. Alex Zane. I see Bishop Dyer in there. Shout out
Baron Corbin
under his new name.
There. Yeah.
Good. I like to see him wrestling and popping up. So
terrible name. I'll keep it a buck, but you know.
It's horrible. But hey. Sometimes you can push past horrible names. Rich Swan's in there, too. So I appreciate you for putting that on our radar.
100%. I didn't know anything about it, but that's
awesome.
Shout out
that five-star match between Takeshita and Bayley at their first event.
Right.
That was just insane. So
shout out five-star matches.
And I guess we're just jumping right into our show. It's like I said, we didn't have much news this week, and we've covered a couple of the big matches, but it was still a fun week of wrestling. So
yeah, buddy.
From New Orleans, Duke, take us away.
And we open up the show with Master P introducing the new AEW Trios champions, the Ops.
We talk about aura farming every week.
This was an aura farming promo. Master P was aura farming. Joe started aura farming. Then the Death Riders and the Elite both attacked. And then P and Joe managed to take the upper hand. I say that because P threw a couple punches. I don't think he connected with any of them, but he tried, you know? I have to imagine if you're a celebrity that's never done a wrestling spot or a wrestling punch before, even if you have someone like be like, no, just punch me. It'll be fine. I've taken hits before. Just don't punch me fully hard, you know, like or something like that. It's got to be hard in the moment to like really when that shit hits the fan.
Really lock it in.
Because it's really we don't think about this. But if you were right next to someone doing wrestling moves on each other, it would look like fighting to you, even if you know it's not real. You know, like you'd still be like, damn, that's really intense. And I don't want to be right next to that. I might get bumped, you know, like. So, you know, I could see that. I don't blame him for it not looking perfect there. Swerve also got involved, as well as Lord Geddes. So, you know, classic AEW opening segment, overbooked as hell, but it gets the job done, you know?
Yeah.
You know?
It's a core thing of AEW, just throwing them all out there, getting the crowd excited. It's worked since day one, and it's worked now.
Yeah, and when I say overbooked, in WWE, that would just bore the crowd to death. Here, it's exciting because we're actually getting to see some of our favorite. Imagine if you're at this show. You get to see Swerve, Kenny, and fucking Joe all in the same, like, and, you know, the Trios champions as well.
It's just throwing a bunch of people out there. That's all.
Yeah, no, I'm saying, like, but if you're there and this is the beginning of the show and you're just sitting down to your seat like a few minutes before and then this shit starts all popping off, it's got to be fucking blast, right? Like, I don't know, maybe. We had Nick Wayne, the patriarchy backstage, saying, you know, and oh yeah, and Christian Cage is also back there. Basically says, yeah, I fucked your mom. That's why I wasn't here. Crazy. He then steals his championship and gave it back to him. You know, he puts it back on his shoulder because he's like, nah, I did this gimmick once already. I'll let Luchasaurus have that, you know? Yeah. And Nick Wayne says, you know, when you follow the plan, you actually win championships. Christian didn't like that. Says he loves his family, you know? He's going to be taking a more direct role with them, it seems like, you know? So, yeah, good stuff. I mean, Christian Cage is like fucking a 10 out of 10 every fucking segment. I mean, he's never not good. I can't believe when I watch back the compilations of all the shit that he has said since he's been back, dude. I mean, yeah, and you think back to that sort of wet fart of a fucking title feud with Kenny Omega, you know, like that just didn't really land, you know, like, and then you look at this and you look at it now in the last few years and it's insane. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. Christian Cage's resurgence of his career is one of my favorite things that I've been able to witness in AEW. Did you want to throw anything about that? I mean, obviously, we both love Christian Cage on this podcast, you know?
Yeah, I enjoyed this and thought it was a fun little segment. And again, yeah, anytime we can get him in this kind of format, I'm always down with it.
I've said for a while I didn't think Nick Wayne was catching the aura of Christian. I actually think the last few weeks with this that they've been doing and him winning the champ, I think he's catching it, dude. I think he's starting
to get doing his thing right now.
Because, you know, Luchasaurus is kind of like an established big man now. And like, I feel like if they broke him off, he could go and win a championship now, probably. I mean, he did win a championship, but like on his own. He wouldn't need to like cheat or anything, right? I feel like Nick Wayne is getting to that. I think this is now that the button has clicked for Nick Wayne now, you know? So now it's just to see where things go beyond that, right? I suppose, you know? Yeah. Mark Briscoe took on Ricochet. They made a big deal out of the fact that Mark Briscoe is a farmer, you know? And I just gotta say, chicken shit heel Ricochet is one of my favorite fucking things, bro. It is fucking hilarious.
it's so good.
Yeah, it's a bald ass motherfucker, you know? And for some reason, Charlie, being funny is illegal in wrestling. I don't know why, but it is. It's not allowed. You can't be funny. If you're funny at all, then you're just a joke and you're not serious anymore. Which is so funny because like 2 years ago, every angle on WWE was kind of like that, you know, like, and like you had R-Truth being like main featured all the time and people were fucking loving it and defending it and saying blah, blah, blah. And now as soon as AEW has one guy that is somewhat serious of a wrestler is doing some fun stuff to have the crowd pop and to have a good time with wrestlers like Mark Briscoe, who, you know, gets fucking popped by this shit, you know, like. I don't know, man. It
blows my mind how people think of comedy and wrestling. I don't know.
Like comedy, wrestling, I don't know can
why
be comedy.
It's,
wrestling
why
can
it's
be
so
drama.
Weird. I mean, wrestling inherently is funny. We're watching, you know.
We're watching dudes wrestle in their underwear. Fakely. Like, yeah, it's fucking silly. This is nonsense, you know, like, anyway. And I think if Mark Briscoe credit here, he kept up with a fucking guy that hits the pace that Ricochet does. Because it's not like Ricochet slows down for anybody. He kept up with them. So I got to give him credit where it's due.
And we've been teetering on this past, you know, couple months. We've been asking what's the angle for Mark Briscoe.
Yeah.
Dude, he's going to win a championship this year.
I think so, yeah. He's been really,
he's
100% really
going to win a championship this year. It's not going to be the big one, I don't think.
No, I don't think so. Maybe eventually.
He's going to win an AEW singles championship. And I think it'll be fine. I think it'll be a fine run. And
it'll
I
be
look
fun.
Forward
he'll
to him getting that.
A weekly title defense, right?
Yep.
And it'll be awesome, you know? He probably won't get on pay-per-views, though. He didn't want the Ring of Honor title, so.
Because they're totally gearing us up for this now. Now with this win specifically,
yeah,
it's like, okay. Because now he is beating top guys. Consistently, it almost feels like. It's not just a one-off Kyle.
Yeah, and that's actually, I put that in my notes. I wouldn't have guessed that he was going to beat Ricochet here, to be completely honest with you. I would have thought Ricochet is just, you know, going to continue his momentum, but then Ricochet ends up taking the loss here. Which then leads him to pulling out the scissors, Kevin Knight making the save, the Rock and Roll Express gets shown in the crowd. I think so they can be used later, but I was like, why are we showing the Rock and Roll Express here? What the fuck? Anyway. but yeah, no, go back to what you were saying, because I honestly think that for Ricochet, it's weird right now, but Mark Briscoe winning, I mean, it does kind of open a door for Mark Briscoe that I didn't know we were going to open, especially like this, like late into the year, you know, like we're, but you know, like who is the standout like mid-card singles star from this year so far? I'm trying to think, like.
It's hard because our three singles champions, that is not the world title, are main event guys.
Yeah, right. So everyone looks secondary to them.
It's hard to break that mold, but I think that just shows the fucking, A, just the standard in the company.
That means he beats any of those guys, it's going to put him on another level, which who knows?
And I think we can ultimately agree Mark Briscoe beating Ricochet does more for Mark than it would for Ricochet the other way. Because again, Ricochet can take these L's. It doesn't hurt him in the slightest. Now, this is three L's in a row. We don't need to get too off track. So I'd like to get him a get back here soon. But I think he's going to have an opportunity this week in the All-Star Tag where he's teaming with the Elite. So, you know, he'll have his opportunities here.
Agreed. Yeah, I think it's great stuff. And yeah, I really didn't expect Mark Briscoe to win here. It's really good stuff. And then FTR then get introduced by Stokely Hathaway, Charlie.
Whoa now. Whoa.
What happened there? He called Mox a terrorist. says he does all the things that that FTR did. And he, you know, and basically he's just walking around, you know. They say, so then this is when I can't remember. I think it's Dax picks up the mic here at this point and says they put Daniel Garcia first as well as Cope and even stopped what he asked. Then he betrayed them. Basically, what I took away from that was like basically what Dax's angle with this is that they believed that if they just kept plugging, that they would eventually get him to the where he needed to be, and then he would help them to get to where they needed to be, right? And ultimately, by the time they got to the point where they could maybe win the trios title, or maybe even possibly win the tag titles again, it was way too past the time, or something like that. And so it felt like basically he was taking advantage of their time and their goodwill because they were friends, right? And that's basically the reason why they betrayed Cope, which, I mean, I guess that's understandable, I guess, to an extent, you know, like,
yeah,
Dax doesn't ever like to give like non reasons for why they would betray somebody. But they basically put that on Daniel Garcia as well, because they can, you know, they put them both in the same framing here. So, and I think Daniel Garcia is a little bit different because, I mean, he just lost his championship recently and like he was doing other things. He wasn't really fucking with FTR that too much until they fucked with him. So there is that, and that would be the then like the heel-ness of it, if you will, is that they recognize, I'm sure on some level, that Danny didn't really do anything to them, but because now he's like sort of the enemy, they're not really going to care, and they're going to justify it, even if it's a bad justification that doesn't really make sense, which I thought was good. They then called out the Rock and Roll Express, literally called them out. I mean, like they literally brought them to the ring. And they talk some shit. They pile drive Ricky Morton, and then Adam Cole came out to run them off. So yeah, I mean, pretty good stuff there. It's wild. Do you think the Rock and Roll Express are gonna like have a match on AEW? Is that something that's in our future? Like, are they able to even wrestle? I don't even know. Like,
I mean, I'm not going to rule it out. Years, I'm think, not going right? to rule it out at all.
No, they have in the last few years, right? Am I tweaking? I
yes, think
they
have. They have.
So they still can technically. Probably not like a match, but they can still. So maybe, but no, probably not. Maybe if it is, it's probably with FTR, right? Like,
oh yeah, definitely. And I mean, look, I mean they clearly like the just being involved too at times. So you know, good for them. I got no problem with it.
Yeah, I just wasn't expecting to see them on AEW this past week. I was like, oh, okay, Rock and Roll Express. Shit, why not? Shit, fuck it. We ball, as they say. We talked about the tag match. Timeless Toni Storm called the women in the tournament the preeminent individuals in this industry. And made an eliminator challenge for Collision, which was answered by Queen Aminata. So shout out Aminata getting on the card for Collision and getting the title opportunity. The Hurt Syndicate arrived, and MVP says that they've banished the teams that they have beaten to the Shadow Realm. He didn't say Shadow Realm, but he basically said that. Yeah, and Bobby was about to speak, Bobby Lashley, and then MJF interrupted him and arrived in a really fancy, nice-ass car. I don't know cars. I have no idea what the fuck it was, but it was nice-ass car. Nicer car than I'll ever own, probably. So, you know. You got the thumb up from Sheldon for his respect for MVP, which he wanted to be clear about. It wasn't because he liked him. It was because of the gifts. It was because, which, by the way, shout out fucking shout out Shelton. People criticized it being about the fucking gifts, like being kind of weird to some people, right? And he's like, it wasn't even about that. So for Shelton, it wasn't even about what, like, the materialistic shit, which I think is actually kind of a fucking cool way to play it. You know what I mean? Like,
yep.
That's interesting.
Yeah, MVP trusts him. Why shouldn't he?
Exactly.
If he trusts MVP, you know, sometimes if even if you're uncertain about stuff, this can be a life lesson too. Sometimes even if you're uncertain, you know, if your guy, your main man, your business manager, whatever the hell their relationship is together, he's sticking his neck out for someone. Maybe even you got to go for it, even if it's against your better judgment, which Shelton can always be proven right in this scenario.
100%.
Because he knows MJF's a scumbag, but
100%.
If his boy believes in it, fuck it. I'll ride.
And fuck, speaking well, of
I do
that.
Too.
Exactly. Exactly. So in that, in jumping off of that, that's exactly the thing that MJF then uses to try and convince Bobby when he cuts his little bit of promo after this. He's basically like, yeah, no, I know that you know that I'm going to betray you. And you very well know that when you have that, when that opportunity arises, you have every advantage because you're a group of three and I'm basically myself. And I, yeah, I could get help, but you probably still have the advantage, you know, like, he doesn't say any of that, but it's all implied. You know what I mean? Like, that's the implied threat that MJF is constantly under, is that they, three of them could just turn on him and destroy him, right? Because he's one guy. So, but they would then be entering into that relationship knowing what is going to happen and basically being willing to handle it when it comes to it. And that's basically how the syndicate, when they've been backstage talking to each other, that's what they've been saying. It's more or less been, yeah, when it comes down to it, we could just beat the shit out of this guy, you know? We'll do what we do. And so it really is kind of a no-lose scenario for them. Plus, he's going to give them all kinds of expensive shit and shit anyway, just because he wants to be on their good side. So there's like all kinds of benefits to this. And he ultimately is like, okay, let's go look at this car that you're, you know, because he says, oh, I'll give you the car that I showed up in if you decide to do it, you know? And he's like, okay, well, let's go look at the car. So he's like, can I borrow the keys really quickly? I just want to, you know, start it up, is basically the implication. And he gives him the thumbs down and yoinked up the car and said, yeah, I'm out of here. So that happened. Yeah, so he yoinked MJF's car, which was hilarious, obviously. Yeah, I mean, you know, obviously we're still not there. We're drawing this out. Do you know what this kind of reminds me of a little bit? Do you remember that angle where Dean Ambrose, obviously Jon Moxley now, but at the time Dean Ambrose was like, we should get the Shield back together to Seth Rollins while Roman was not available at the time, remember? And it led to the Shield reunion angle that ultimately Roman couldn't be a part of, right? Because I think, I believe it was, I don't remember if it was specifically related to his leukemia stuff, but I know it was injury related. I know he couldn't be a part of that angle, and that's why they brought in Kurt Angle, right? So, but this is, I believe, what birthed that angle, was this really long, drawn out, and it somehow, it was like 8 weeks or something they drew it out for, Charlie. And finally, they were like, yes, we'll do it, and we're going to be a tag team, and then they won the tag team titles, right?
Yes.
And then not long after that, obviously, Ambrose turns heel and stuff. But yeah, so I it reminds me of that, and that angle really worked, you know? So I think this might be getting in that same vein almost, sort of. Like, I think everybody wants this to happen, even though we know it's not going to last forever, just to see what it looks like, because, you know, we know it's going to be awesome and hilarious and just everything, you know? So drawing it out, I mean, I guess my question is to you, is this being drawn out too much, or is this something that if they keep drawing this out, it's just going to get better?
Yeah, I mean, so this is something probably most people thought it was just going to be a couple week thing, if at max, maybe like a 2 week thing, just leads to a quick match, you know, whatever, whatever. But they're actually putting time and heart and effort into this. It actually is now reached a point of having people really care about this. And actually believing there's a chance MJF could join this group, which sounds insane if you ever say that before they start this little thing they're doing together. Has it gone on too long? Not at all. You know, MJF is not a guy that wrestles weekly. We don't need the Hurt Syndicate wrestling weekly. They're still wrestling. So it's checking all those boxes that you want. I think it's creating, you know, some intrigue that we really like in our storytelling. So, and look, I actually believe that he could join them, and I think he might join them for a little bit of time. If they end up doing some 4v4s, you know, MJF's going to need some people to have his back, right? Doesn't have to wrestle, can do his thing. Yeah, I'm all in on this. So, you know, I don't know where this leads to with our guys having the titles here. Because I'm still leaning towards All In being a plunder match. Like, four or five different tag teams, ladder match, some crazy shit. So, that's kind of where I'm thinking it's heading, and that's where they'll drop it. But for next month at Double or Nothing, for Arena Mexico, which I forgot to mention in the news, Arena Mexico fucking sold out, like, within a day. Insane. So
that's pretty wild.
Yeah. I'm excited about this, and I think I'm echoing a lot of the same thoughts you were, so.
100%.
Yeah.
Yeah, and obviously we're not done with MJF here, because we go to the Hangman backstage interview, and Hangman Adam Page, you know, Renee's, like, trying to talk to him about, you know, the tournament and stuff, and MJF's like, we are still feuding buddies, so don't forget about me, and walks in, and yeah, makes fun of him for getting, you know, he's like, yeah, you know, shouldn't you be, like, more paying attention to what happened to your car? He's like, whatever, you know, and then MJF says they have unfinished business, that Hangman's not badass for being in the Owen Hart Cup, says he's going to choke in the finals, and as he's walking away, Hanger says, choke on this dick. He literally did. Well, he didn't say that because, you know, you can't say that on TV, obviously, but he said, I'll give you something to choke on. And I was like, God damn, Hanger, Jesus.
Hey, yo. Yeah.
But yeah, so we had Will Ospreay and Brody King, which is maybe one of my favorite new random tag teams that we get every now and then, because Jesus Christ. Can you imagine wrestling that team, how much fucking ice you would need afterward? My God. But and think about all the people in this match probably needed ice afterward because of the four guys in it, because it was Kenosuke Takeshi and Josh Alexander as well. So this is almost my favorite this week, because this is when I wrote my notes. The quality of the wrestling on this Dynamite was just like fucking S tier. It was insane. There's great stuff in this match. Brody King is a phenomenal hot tag, obviously. The Barks were in for him. They really hit each other hard in this one. Lance Archer was at ringside to cause some shenanigans. There was a hell of a kick hit by Kenosuke at one point. Brody King has a jaw of steel. They picked up the one with the C4 spike, which is a great fucking move, by the way. I gotta say, great move. Then we had a post-match assault by the Don Callis family. Kyle Fletcher made an appearance and, you know, to show this is all done for him, basically. Hangman then shows up to try and involve himself because he doesn't want, you know, like, unfair scenarios and stuff. So he then gets attacked by Roppongi Vice. So, you know, ultimately he'll stand tall here, I guess. But, you know, just superior planning by the Don Callis family, obviously, is what happened here, you know. But, yeah.
Of course.
And then it'll take us to the main event, Charlie, because I don't think we had any backstage segments in between there, I don't believe. So I think we just went straight to the next match, I think.
Yeah, right? No, just went straight to it.
Yep. And we had Chris Statlander taking on Jamie Hayter. Anyway, and the Owen Hart Cup semifinals. This tournament's been a fucking monumental win for AEW, both men's and women's. It's been fucking great match after great match. The last 3 years of this tournament have been just phenomenal. It's been great quality shit. And yeah, so, I mean, they did everything. They hit each other super hard. They had some dueling chants. We had some jujitsu and grappling sort of influence going on in here as well. We stood up with a leg lock wrapped around into an electric chair. I mean, just really great stuff. I mean, it was like power and ring IQ versus the exact same thing on the other side. Chris Statlander had a fucking 450 splash. The fuck? People that size shouldn't be able to do that. The fuck? Anyway, or at least that, like, fucking, you know, muscle, you know what I mean? Like, Jesus Christ, flying through the air like a goddamn fucking anything. But yeah, there was a midair lariat off the second rope. It was a dive off the second rope that was caught in midair by a lariat by Hayter, I think, or something insane like that. It was like, they were doing all kinds of crazy stuff in this. Picked up the win with the Haterade. Ultimately, Jamie Hayter will go on to face Mercedes for the finals and Double or Nothing. On the pay-per-view, Mercedes then showed up on the ramp for a stare down. First of all, Obviously, thoughts on the match. It was a really great match. Probably, I would say, my favorite match of the tournament so far, just because even though Mercedes and Athena is going to stand the test of time, I think this match, I just didn't know what the fuck was going to happen. You know what I mean? Because either one of them could go on to face Mercedes. You know what I mean? Like, and that could set up for stuff down the line either way, you know? So, like, I don't know. Like, because think about it. If Chris wins this, right, she goes on, maybe she beats Mercedes, right? But then she is going to get a world title shot, so she's not worried about a TBS title shot right now, right? Then Mercedes goes on to lose that title and maybe wants to go after the world title now. And who's the champion? Yeah. But that's obviously probably not, I guess that's not happening because Jamie Hayter wins. And that's who I thought was winning ultimately. But I just thought in my head, I was like, I don't know. It could go the other way because there's opportunities there that you could play with. So I don't know. Really cool stuff. So let me know what you think.
Yeah, thought it was pretty solid. It was a good main event. I still disagree a little. I still think Athena versus Mercedes is the match to beat in this tournament. I think that's the big one of the women. And then, of course, Takeshita versus Ospreay on the men's side. But yeah, this was really good. They brought the heavy hitting, that big physicality that we wanted out of this match. I thought they brought that. And, you know, two faces. And I think they made the right call, ultimately, having Jamie Hayter win. I do think there was a chance Statlander could go on to win this tournament, but Jamie Hayter's return, she's not gone after titles. She's been buying her time. It's time to do the damn thing. And how do you do it? You have her have a massive match, massive victory at Double or Nothing, and she contends for the world championship at All In, because that's what Jamie deserves. And that's she's crushing it right now. She's absolutely killing it. She came back with this new character. And I thought they brought some good stuff to this. So, yeah, Mercedes versus Jamie Hayter. I mean, holy shit, it's happening.
That's been one of those matches that since Mercedes got here has been like the highest on our priority list of what we wanted to see. And we're getting it at Double or Nothing. So that could be match of the night, straight up.
This is going to be fucking awesome. So, yeah, we'll jump into Collision then. And we opened up the show with Swerve and Nana coming down to the ring. Force work could say anything. The Young Bucks came out. And they said, hey, motherfucker, I know you're not dressed, but your match is now. Swerve takes on Blake Christian out there. They were having some good chemistry together. Swerve was, wrestling in the leather pants. And his back shot. No, the kill shot that he hit. Now, his back shots he was giving to Blake Christian, they gave a loud fucking crack, and the crowd really popped to that. So that was fun. But, he beat the crap out of him. Kenny Omega came out. They booked all the big guys for Collision. So, and it proved it did numbers. So that was a good sign. And, yeah, that was a fun little segment where Swerve picked up the victory.
Also made, like, the NXT streak is broken, and I was like, shut up. Come on.
Samoa Joe was talking about John in his backstage promo. It was really good here, setting up their match together. Samoa Joe is so believable. You can tell he's an actor, and he does he's really good. He's really damn good, and I am excited for their match at Beach Break. Toni Storm takes on and defeats one of our four pillars, Queen Aminata, in a fun match. I gotta tell you, Toni Storm put this woman over. Wow, she let her get so much offense. She sold the shit out of all of her moves. Queen Aminata showed off some new moves here that was, you know, I think it worked for the crowd. It worked for her character. They didn't really dive into the technical side as much as I was hoping they would, but they got a 12-minute match, and they showed off more of the physicality side that Queen Aminata brings to the ring, and all it takes is one crowd to put her over. That's all it takes, one crowd, and Queen Aminata will be elevated to that level for everyone's eyes to see. So I think she's proving time and time again, when she gets an opportunity like this, she runs with it. This is their third time wrestling in, like, I think their first match was over a year ago, but their last match was like 2 months ago, and it was a fine match. This was the best one yet, and I still think 2025 could be one of those years where Queen Aminata wins the breakout star of the year. So she is on a trajectory right now. I can't wait to see where it goes. And shout out our champ for having a competitive, good match on television. We love it. Any other thoughts you had on this one?
Yeah, you really can't ask for more than that, right? You know?
No.
But, yeah, let me pull up my notes. It didn't get as much time as I would have liked. Obviously, I think eventually in the future, when it's not eliminated, when it's actually for the title, this match is going to be an insane match. Like, they've already had good matches, but I just think when they actually have like time on a pay-per-view, that's when it's really going to kick off. Like, there will be a year, maybe not obviously this year, but maybe 2 years from now, Aminata will be in that tournament that we're watching right now, and she'll be facing Toni Storm, and it'll be one of the best matches of the tournament, and it'll have been all built up to by the last matches they've had. And who knows who's champion then? Maybe Jamie Hayter, maybe Mercedes. Ah, shit, if it was Mercedes, that'd be cool. But yeah, anyway, so, but no, I didn't have too much more to add about that, other than, you know, obviously Timeless Toni Storm is fucking hilarious, and also probably, I'd say, one of the most over people at AEW at this point.
100%. Jeff Jarrett and his crew showed up. They're doing their thing. No idea really where this is going, but everyone's mad at Sanjay, and have to keep an eye on that. Max Caster came out. Let's go, Max. You're the best wrestler alive. And Hologram comes out and beats the unholy shit out of him. Hologram, also known as the punishment from God, doing his thing. So
also known as God you don't pray to.
Yeah, Hologram is awesome. He's really good.
That'll be a guy who I'm hyped to get cards of in the next year's product.
Oh, yeah. Oh, we had the crew match. Anna Jay, her return match. Another one of our four pillars. Anna Jay came out, got a nice victory. Quick little squash. She looks good. Penelope Ford hits the ring. Goes to shake her hand. Nope. Gotcha. Out comes Megan Bain. F5. Cool. Could either be a Megan Bain versus Anna Jay. Could be setting up for a Ty Mello return. There's a lot of options here. We covered about a month ago that she's ready.
I think you just laid out what the next 3 months of story this is going to be, and it's going to lead to Megan Bain storyline at All In, probably, and or maybe if it's,
that'd be awesome. Get the street fight going.
Wait, hold on. May 25th. Actually, probably this month they'll probably have the match. But in the next 3 or 4 weeks, they're going to have her have a feud with Penelope Ford, like they did with who was it they did that with recently, where they feuded with Penelope?
Statlander.
They'll do what they did with Statlander, and then she'll feud with Penelope at first, and then
it's
Megan
a good
Bain.
Formula. It's a non-title women's program. Yep. I'm always down with it.
And Megan Bain, without saying a word, has sold all these storylines pretty much. So like, it's not something that you need to work too hard on, and you even have Penelope as a mouthpiece if you really need it. Yeah, I actually think this is going to be really easy. This is going to be like paint by numbers booking, and it'll really work. So,
and I'm still confident if they wanted to, they could have made her champion, and you could be doing the same kind of thing, and it would be fine. So, it was definitely a possibility. Bandido defeats Dralístico to retain the Ring of Honor World Championship. Bandido's awesome. He's great. Another one of our four pillars. Apparently, this collision was made for us. That's all I'm saying. So. But, yeah, I think him and Dralístico had some good chemistry together here. Bandido ended up winning with the 21-plex. Solid match. Collision is for the sickos.
We are sickos. Da, 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 da.
At this point, I was really cooking with the show, especially. We get a quick Roosh defeating AR Fox, so more of him.
It really
back.
Was just all of our fucking guys on here, huh?
Yeah. Roppongi Vice backstage. They're insulted. People are calling them underrated. And they go on to beat the holy fuck out of the Outrunners. Good segment here. Kyle Fletcher, our last four pillar, cuts a promo video talking about how he wasn't sure what was more important, winning the tournament or stopping Will from winning. He promises to make Hangman choke and lose. Hangman said he's going to violently fight Fletcher in a way he's never felt before. He needs to win the tournament so we can get the title back. AEW needs to be saved. Oh, buddy. Options here. Hangman versus Ospreay. The debates of who's going to win this match at Double or Nothing are absolutely insane. Either way, it could also be Kyle.
I mean, honestly, if we run Kyle versus Will again at Double or Nothing, I mean, that just feels appropriate as well.
Kyle has to win.
Oh, 100%. But
and that's why I don't think they're going to do it.
Yeah, no.
I think they know Kyle versus Jon Moxley or versus Swerve. is not as sexy as Hangman versus
Kyle
either.
Won the last one, right? If I remember correctly. Or did he not?
No, oh, Will no won? I don't think he did. Oh. I'll double check, but no, I think Ospreay's now won two in a row.
You might be right, actually. So, because they won the tag match, right? So that's one.
Correct. And then we get to our last match of the evening, this main event match.
Of course.
That, my God, did this feel straight out of the fucking 80s or what? We had the Paragon. Did they win this? No, they didn't win.
Hold on. I didn't write down who won either, apparently. give us just a second here, everybody. Pull up the article, it'll be fine. We were usually really prepared, but this was a bit of a...
The article says they won. They didn't win this.
Really?
No, FTR won this match.
Look, a cage match.
Yeah. What the hell? Yeah, no, okay. Okay, I was like, in my notes I put they won, but I'm just like using scrolling here. Okay, yeah, FTR won this match.
It sounded right to me.
Anyways. Anyways, this was classic fucking wrestling tag team wrestling here. They got 20 minutes. They got all the fucking time in the world. And we actually watched this match with one of our buddies.
Yeah.
That's not traditionally a wrestling guy, mm-hmm. but he'll still tune it in just to, you know, just to hang out and watch wrestling. So it's always fun to get that perspective.
You might our friend at the AEW show.
You might. And oh my God, hearing his reaction to wanting the hot tag, I was like, that's how I know this appeals to casuals that watch wrestling.
He's like, dude, he really needs to get that tag. Yeah, I was like,
oh, they worked Roddy's knee for fucking 10 to 12 minutes and they didn't allow him to get tagged in. This is Rock and Roll Express type wrestling. This is the kind of wrestling that Dax and Cash want to
is
make
Roddy
more
like
mainstream.
The best at that in like all the NXT
Black
and Gold.
I don't know if
teams,
I've ever
like,
seen him do it, but he's fucking great at it.
It was insane, bro. It was flopping around and it was believable though. I was like, Jesus, this fucking guy.
They were letting Kyle O'Reilly fight the 1v2. It was just so good. This was truly the kind of wrestling that FTR they love to do, and God, I'm so happy they get an opportunity to do it on television. And Duke Collision main events. Oh my God. What a week for tag team wrestling, straight up.
Unbelievable.
Great match. Awesome match. I'm sure you got some thoughts on this. And shit went haywire at the end a little bit with Danny and Adam Cole. But yeah, no, it's good. Really enjoyed this one.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, something I noticed about this match instantly was Kyle and Roddy just jumped out of their fucking shoes on the pace in this match instantly, which is something that I think I remember them doing when they would do tag matches individually with Bobby in NXT. It was something that sometimes you would just know this match is a fucking banger match that's about to come on, so they're just jumping right into it. And yeah, I mean, they did some great stuff when they were working the leg and the knee, like trapping the leg in the steps and in between the, and like they, there was like there's this little like truss bit under the ring where they were also doing it as well. And they were doing attacks to it. And it really set up for that psychology to be built around the selling of the leg, which really sort of sold that first 10 minutes of the match, like you said. And when you got regular people that don't watch wrestling being like, damn, get that hot tag, man. What the hell? Like, that's crazy, you know? And that's why I said he had there was perfect tag psychology in this match by FTR. Every moment when and you got to give credit to Roddy and people for they set up every moment, but every moment that they set up where they could have possibly made I'll just call them false hot tags, if you will. Every time FTR was perfectly timed. It's not like they were ever felt like they were rushing to get over to stop the tag. Cause you can do that spot and it can look a little goofy because you're just running straight over there and you're stopping it. The way FTR did it, it felt like they were doing it with urgency and they were doing it at the last possible second and stuff like that. It was just, I don't even know how to describe it. It was insane. And I think Roderick has one of the best comebacks in wrestling right now. It's just insane. It damaged the knee even more. There was an insane 30-second chain wrestling sequence between Dax and Kyle that they just tossed in at the end where they were just hitting all kinds of chain wrestling. Adam Cole arrived after the bell and FTR attempted to attack and Daniel Garcia also then attacked. And it appears Daniel Garcia and Adam Cole have joined forces. I mean, just fucking great stuff here, dude. Oh my God.
Yeah, really, really good stuff for a great week of AEW that we had. So, okay. Upcoming this week, Hangman Page, Kyle Fletcher. All-star 8-man tag. Omega, Bailey, Briscoe, and Kevin Knight versus the Elite and Ricochet.
Bald.
Tony Storm issues a title eliminator open challenge.
I actually have no idea who's going to answer that. Deonna Purrazzo, fuck it.
I'd be cool with that. We haven't seen Ashley D'Ambois in a while.
Wait. Hear me out, Charlie. What if the Eliminator is answered by Mariah May?
I'm in.
And then that sets up the Double or Nothing
match. Wouldn't that be fucking nuts?
Sets up a match for Double or Nothing.
Mariah May.
We haven't heard hide or tail of her since the fucking loss. No. So if that's what they do, that could. Tony Khan, please.
That would be a big one. Let me toss this out there for you. Marina Shafir.
I'm down. She hasn't had any. She fucking feels like she should have had a title shot at some point, even though she hasn't really had any matches. Like, she's been the keeper of the world championship for a while. I feel like, I don't know, something.
Yep. Hurt Syndicate will appear live. MJF will appear live. You know what? What if it? I know who it is. It's Nyla Rose. I think it's her hometown, dude.
Oh, you know what? That probably is then. That makes sense.
I probably just spoiled it, and I'm sorry. But that'll be cool. That'll be a fun match. Shout out Nyla. She's fucking awesome. And actually, it's not our hometown. We're good. We're in the clear. But no, it's Nyla Rose. I have prescient vision, guys. I can see the future. So tonight, you will see Nyla Rose wrestle Toni Storm. Lock in.
Da, 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 da.
Okay, and that is it for wrestling today. Thank you, everyone. And we'll see you on the flip side.